Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A court rules that a Florida school board can remove pro-LGBTQ children's book from the library. This is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me on Faith and Freedom to discuss this new case is Holly Mead.
You know, it's amazing in Florida, free Florida, and Governor DeSantis has done a great work in trying to get this, I call it trash, out of these schools. However, it's not been all taken out yet. And here's an example. With a Florida school board, a judge ruled that the school board can remove a penguin-themed children's book depicting same-sex marriage from its libraries, and that such action does not violate the First Amendment.
You know, by the way, when you come into Florida now, the welcome says, "Welcome to the free state of Florida."
Right.
And there's been an amazing transformation that's happened in a lot of the laws in Florida under the leadership of Governor Ron DeSantis, including some of these laws that have been passed by the legislature that protect children and parents regarding the LGBTQ agenda. So in Escambia County, which is up in the panhandle, the Pensacola area of Florida, the school board decided to remove this book, And Tango Makes Three. It's two male penguins in this children's book. They adopt Hatch and they raise Tango, a penguin chick at the New York Central Park Zoo. But it's about two males being the parents, quote unquote, of this Tango. And so it's promoting same-sex marriage to kids using this cartoonish kind of illustration.
So this is an example. There is still work to be done, even in the state of Florida.
So the school board, however, decided to remove the book. So this was good.
Yes.
And
we
then they were
for that.
Sued by the co-authors of the book and a young female student who allegedly said she wanted to borrow the book from her school library. And they filed suit saying that this was viewpoint discrimination. They're removing this book because of disagreement with its viewpoint. However, the chief U.S. District Judge, Alan Windsor, rejected their First Amendment argument, writing that, quote, "The government does not create a forum for others' speech by purchasing books for a public library," close quote. And in fact, the decision by Judge Windsor cited our case, Shurtleff versus City of Boston, a U.S. Supreme Court case where Liberty Counsel won a unanimous victory in 2022. In Shurtleff v. Boston, the City of Boston illegally censored Christian viewpoints by denying the flying of the Christian flag in a public forum open to all applicants. But in this particular case, they went through the criteria for what is a public forum. What are the criteria? What are the facts or factors that you create a public forum? In the Boston case, they had a policy and they said that it was open to, quote, all applicants. That sounds like it's open to everyone. They invited people to apply. All the applicants were allowed and they were encouraged to apply. And then they could fly their flag on this public forum. They actually called it a public forum flagpole that would be flown during their event. And so they had a lot of individuals that would create an application and then fly their flag for their various events. They denied Hal Shurtleff because of his Christian viewpoint, because he wanted to fly the Christian flag. So here, is this public library like what we have in Shurtleff? And the court ruled no. Using Shurtleff, this is not a public forum. Why? Because the library doesn't open up library books to be delivered and sent to the library to anyone who wants to. The library exercises a lot of control over which books the library purchases and which books the library will remove.
Right. The judge explained that the library's decision to remove the book does not keep the book or its viewpoint from the student since the book is available elsewhere. But the authors also do not have a First Amendment right to demand that the library ignore the book's viewpoint when deciding whether to include it in its collection.
Yeah, the judge said, by definition, libraries must have discretion to keep certain ideas, certain viewpoints off the shelves. And in exercising that discretion, this library did what libraries have been doing for two centuries, and that is decide which books are of requisite and appropriate quality to be on the shelves, according to the judge's opinion, which makes sense.
Yeah, you don't expose children to this kind of nonsense or pornography or any of this other stuff they're trying to keep putting in these libraries.
Now, I will say that before this decision, and this would be before the Shurtleff case that we won at the U.S. Supreme Court, there are some courts that have gone the other way, where libraries have refused, or I should say libraries have done the same thing. They've removed objectionable books because perhaps parents or community members complained about this awful type of book, inappropriate for children. They've removed them. People then filed suit. They wanted access to the books. And some courts went the wrong way. Our case now, Shurtleff versus City of Boston, sets forth a good criteria for what constitutes a public forum. And it would make no sense that libraries are a public forum for books because that doesn't, imagine the consequences. That means they have to accept every book that you send them, like all applicants are being invited to apply. They're not asking for everybody to send them books. They're not required to accept the books that you send them. That's number one. Otherwise, they'd have to open it up for people to send them books, and then they would have to keep the books. They wouldn't have enough space. At some point in time, they've got to remove things.
Particularly in these school libraries, though. I mean, you're dealing with children. You don't just put anything in there.
Well, you have to remove them for a lot of reasons. They're outdated. People don't use them.
These are children.
They're wearing, they're inappropriate for the children. You know, just take this. If it's a kindergarten through fifth grade library, why would you put, you know, physics in there? High mathematics, that's way beyond them. So obviously you have to make a decision. They also make a decision in this case that, you know what, this kind of LGBTQ plus indoctrination, it's just not appropriate.
Right.
This pro-abortion indoctrination, it's not appropriate. We're going to remove it. So the library did the right thing. The judge made the right ruling. The problem that we have is when you have other libraries that are not doing the right thing, like Escambia. Escambia did the right thing. They said, we're removing the book because it's inappropriate for children. It promotes same-sex marriage. That's not what we should be promoting to the kids and indoctrinating them. We're going to remove it. The judge said, fine, no First Amendment violation. Good result. But the problem that you find is a lot of libraries are the other way. And in fact, they actually use our tax dollars to buy a lot of books that are very objectionable.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they have religious or Christian books or conservative books, either they choose not to have very many or none at all, or they provide them in a place where they're hard to find. And then what do they do with the pro-LGBTQ books? They purchase them and then they put those on prominent display.
So
you usually have the opposite of what we've seen in Escambia. So how do you deal with that? Well, on the other hand, what this case stands for is you may not be able to sue them to remove all these things unless they fall in a certain category, like they're obscene, and there's a certain criteria for obscene works where that does not have any First Amendment protection, and it would be inappropriate to have children submitted to those kinds of subject matters. But the other thing is for you as the citizen, whether it's your K through 12 library or your public library, go in and see what's in the libraries. Find out what's in the libraries. Check out their Christian, their conservative sections. Are they hard to find? Are they an equal opportunity to access? Find out where the LGBTQ section is, the abortion section, some of those radical sections. Are they putting those out front and center? And if they are, then use your political voice and go to your public hearings with these legislative representatives.
And your school board meetings.
And your school board meetings, your city, county meetings. Yeah. Bring some of the books, check them out, read some of them, and then bring them right into these decision makers' faces so that they can hear what's actually in these libraries and take appropriate action. And when they do take appropriate action, this case then stands for the proposition that it's not a First Amendment violation. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.